The question and answer program, everyone enjoys.
I would say yes.
That's right.
That's right.
Here are the questions.
Oh, look at that. Adrian in Bella Vista's on it already on the SMS. Hello, Vicky.
Hello, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm all right, Vicky. I'm a little weary, I have to say. It's been a very full weekend. I'm looking forward to my nap once I finish. But how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yep. I'm whispering because I've got my dog sleeping with me on my bed.
Oh, do you? What kind of dog?
I've got a Cavoodle.
Very nice. What's its name?
Her name's Tessa.
Well, all right, we'll try not to wake Tessa. Now, question one is this, Vicky. What is the smallest country by population to have ever competed in a World Cup?
I think it's Ghana.
I'm afraid it is not Ghana, Vicky.
Okay.
All right, thanks, sir. Thanks very much for playing. Now, if you were with us on Friday night, we actually spoke to somebody from this country. Annette in Perth has it, along with Adrian in Bella Vista. 1-300-800-222. I don't have too many people on the lines for this quiz, so do hop on. 1-300-800-222. Pam, you're correct. Thank you very much. Gordon in Ballina, good evening.
Hello.
Hi, Gordon. Now, if you've been paying attention, do you know what the smallest country by population to have ever competed in a World Cup is?
Yep, I know it. It's Cape Verde.
It is not Cape Verde. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You went for the wrong tiny nation. Thanks, Gordon. Apologies for that. Trevor is in Surfers Paradise. Trevor?
Hello, how are you, Suzanne?
Trevor, I'm all right. What's happening in Surfers?
Not a lot. Well, Sunday night, people go to church.
On Sunday night?
Well, I'm just making stuff up.
Fair enough. Trev, what's the smallest country by population to have ever competed in a World Cup?
Look, I don't know. I think there was Ivory Coast or a name that was originally called that. A West African country who got there.
Is that your guess? Is that your answer?
Yes.
It is incorrect.
I thought it would be.
Farewell, Trev.
Good night, Suzanne.
Bye. Jane in Homebush, David in Singleton. Nicely done too. Yes, we spoke to this country only on Friday night about how significant this was for them. Janet in Redfern.
Oh, hello, Suzanne.
Hi, Janet. Do you know which country this is?
I think is it Cabo Verde?
Now, we've had Cabo Verde already, I think. It's not Cabo Verde, so you can have another guess.
Oh, and it's in this World Cup.
Yes.
You don't answer questions.
Let me say, every question in this quiz is to do with a country that has been in this World Cup.
Oh, man. Okay. I feel like I'm going to hold up. Can I just say, as a long-time listener to the repeat, Trevor is an absolute, I very rarely get to be awake. And no, you can't hear my partner snoring. She's really just sound asleep, but not snoring. Oh, she's talking in her sleep. She does that. She actually thinks I don't know what she thinks I'm talking to. Anyway, Trevor, I just think all of you are just wonderful, but just when you said going to church, I just thought, has the dog gone too? Like, that's all I could think. And then it was just a lie. So now I wonder if the dog is true. But in the meantime, I know the dog's real. I know the dog's real. In the meantime, I'm going to pass it on to someone else and I'll try and stay awake for another history quiz next week.
Thanks, Janet. You know what? If we do get our nightlife calendar up and running, there are requests for Trevor to be posed with the dog, in which case we will all know that the dog is real. Thanks so much, Janet. Let's talk to David in Barrow. Hello, David.
Oh, hi. Hey, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm all right, David. All right. It is not Cabo Verde. It's not Ivory Coast. It's not Ghana. What's the smallest country by population to have ever competed in a World Cup? We interviewed someone from this country on Friday night.
You did. It's like that Curacao.
Curacao.
Yeah. And I have a really, really annoyingly passionate brother-in-law who loves his football, and he tells me about this country all the time.
Excellent. Well, it has been helpful for you. The population at the time that Curacao qualified for the World Cup, 156,000.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Right. Bad people. Question two. So just remember, every question is to do with a country that has been in the group stages of this World Cup. Yeah. Question two. One of, if not the only successful revolution in which enslaved people rose up against their enslavers, successfully took place in which country in 1791?
Group stage. Quick one, Egypt.
It is not Egypt.
Okay, have a great night. Hey,
thanks very much, David. Tony in Penshurst. Hey, Tony.
Hello, how you going?
Yeah, you don't usually venture to Sunday nights, do you? You're really a Friday night kind of guy.
Well, it's a soccer quiz, so to speak, and I've been following it.
All right, so you'll at least be able to guess many things at many countries.
Well, there's 48 countries I can guess from, but not many of them would be enslaved, so it won't be France.
No, and you can rule out Curacao now. So I'll read it again. One of, if not the only successful revolution in which enslaved people rose up against their enslavers successfully, took place in which country in 1791? Adrian's got it, so does Alan.
I want to think of these countries. I think it'd be a country in Africa, I think, or South America. There's a lot, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot you could choose from.
What was an impoverished slave country back then? Oh, I don't know. Haiti. Let's go to Haiti. Are they playing?
It's Haiti. Well done, Tony.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think. Very good thinking, but at least it's the World Cup and there's only 48. Did you know they're planning to get 64 teams in the next
year? You're kidding. They're not really, are they?
They're planning to.
Are they really?
They money. They did 48.
FIFA don't care about money. They're just about the beautiful sport, Tony.
Oh, the wonderful game.
Question. Yes, it was Haiti a very successful slave uprising throughout the French. Bit of a shock to the poor old French. He couldn't, well, not poor old, but they couldn't get it back. Question three. In 1991, the Swiss canton Appenzell-Innerrhoden was the absolute last jurisdiction in Europe to allow what? Following a ruling by the Swiss Federal Supreme Court.
Oh, dear. 1991. What could they have stopped?
And they allowed something. They allowed it. It was the last place in Europe to allow what? Following a ruling by the Swiss Federal Supreme Court.
Oh, okay.
Adrian's got it again. Quick. Honestly, if Adrian actually rang up, he could.
Why does he ring? He should play. Yeah. Okay. Last place in Europe. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm thinking Swiss. Making cheese. How's that? Swiss cheese.
The last place to allow the making of Swiss cheese? No.
No.
Thanks,
Enjoy
Tony.
Your day off watching the soccer on Saturday and go to the Socceroos.
All right. Thanks. Thanks very much, Tony. Yes, Annette in Perth, Alan in Cumnock, Yes, Bernadette, you all have. Yes, Margaret in Richmond, you're all on this. 1-300-800-222. And Tony just reminded me to tell you that, yeah, I won't be with you on Friday night. I've got some family things going on. Greta Jackson is going to be in for you on Friday night. She is very much looking forward to hanging out with you. Would you like to play the history quiz? Quite a few lines free. 1-300-800-222. Grant in Waterloo.
Hi, Suzanne. Another one of your your usual Friday guys rather than a history quiz. But, yes, I was got to inquire about your whereabouts over the next couple of weeks. And thank you for letting us know about next Friday. And then you're off to Vanuatu, is it? Another week and a half, 2 weeks' time for two
yeah,
weeks.
Yeah, so I'll be here next Friday. Yep. I'm sorry, I'll be away next Friday. I'll be back Saturday, yes. Sunday. I'll be off for the following 2 weeks. A combination of some family things and going to Vanuatu.
Yeah, and when you're away, Vanuatu, Libby Gore will be doing the 2 weekends.
You have paid attention, Grant.
I paid attention to that bit, but I didn't quite get the on Friday. I wasn't quite paying attention enough. like a lot of times, I've never been paying attention to enough. Which is what Lucky asked me. He goes, "Do you know the answer to this question?" I said, "Of course I don't." He said, "Well, yes. Well, like all of us, we're all qualified to go on to the quiz." So, all right.
All right, Grant, let's have a go at this. In 1991, the Swiss canton Appenzell-Innerrhoden was the absolute last jurisdiction in Europe to allow what, following a ruling by the Swiss Federal Supreme Court?
I don't know what the what I'm thinking and possibly has to do with the famous Swiss, is it the Swiss? Oh, no, I think I'm getting it all confused with the Vatican and the Swiss Army guys who do something, but, you know, who are the guards there for the Vatican. But that's all a possibility could be, but I can't think what the specific thing would be. So wish you all the best with family things. I'll talk to you a bit later and then practice your French for Vanuatu. So all the best, everyone.
All right. Merci beaucoup, Grant. Bye-bye. Ruth has it. Marion has it. Jane in Homebush has it, adding outrageous. That could possibly be a clue for you. Pam, Elizabeth, Heather, Andy. Different professor from St. Andrews said they'd allow 64 teams in the next World Cup so that Italy can qualify. Ouch. Tim in Thirlmere. Greetings, Tim.
Well, hi.
Hi. All right. In 1991, the Swiss canton Appenzell-Innerrhoden was the absolute last jurisdiction in Europe to allow what, following a ruling by the Swiss Federal Supreme Court?
Not really sure. Is it the last? Is it like no jurisdictions have allowed this since? Is that what that means?
No, it means that finally this place where this thing wasn't happening started happening.
Oh.
That it was happening entirely across the rest of Europe except for in this one place in Switzerland.
It hasn't made homosexuality legal, no?
That is not it, but that's the way you need to think along those lines. But yeah, not homosexuality.
Okay.
Thanks, Tim.
Right, thanks.
Okay, bye. We have David in Altona.
Hi. Was it the last place in Europe to be allowed to wear lederhosen while playing soccer? I'm just guessing.
I wish that was the answer, but it's not, unfortunately.
That's the best I can do, sorry.
All right. Thanks for having a go at it, David. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. Kingsley in Adelaide.
Hello.
Hello, Kingsley. What do you reckon this was that happened in 1991?
I do know this because I researched for a quiz that I was running at the Salvation Army on Wednesday night a few months back. It's women voting.
It is. 1991, and the federal court had to force this little place in Switzerland to allow the Sheilas to have a vote. So Glad I wasn't a Swiss woman living there, Kingsley. Well done. You have it correct.
I was actually amazed that it was so late.
Yeah.
Considering nearly 100 years women had been voting in other countries, in Australia, New Zealand, Europe.
Mm. Yeah.
So I was actually quite taken back by that.
Yeah, it's pretty jaw-dropping stuff, isn't it? Anyway, well done, Kingsley. You knew that. Question four. Now, just reiterating, all of the questions tonight, each question is based on, or the answer will be, a country that has been in the group stages of this World Cup.
Okay.
All right. Which country was the location for a utopian settlement established by a group of ideological Australians in the late 19th century, including William Lane and Dame Mary Gilmore, called New Australia?
Jeez, I've actually heard something about a New Australia, but really I don't know. This wasn't one of my research questions for my quiz.
All right, well, think of a country that has been in the World Cup and throw that out as an answer. Not Switzerland, Curacao or Haiti, because we've already used them up.
I'm only partially following the World Cup. I'm not really into soccer. I'm into Aussie rules, and I barrack for Port Adelaide, and we gave the Crows a bath.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, we were very happy with that game. I was there.
Go on, guess a country for me.
Argentina.
It is not Argentina. Thanks, Kingsley.
Bye.
Bye. Let's see. Does anyone on the SMS know about this? Adrian from Bella Vista. You are on a run tonight, Adrian. Annette in Perth also knows. Ray in the Bay. Yes, you have corrected it to the correct answer. Right. Ray in Pimble is a first-time caller. Hi, Ray.
Hi.
Now, any idea which country was the location for a utopian settlement established by a group of ideological Australians in the late 19th century, including William Lane and Dame Mary Gilmore, that was called New Australia?
I think it's Paraguay.
Paraguay is correct. Apparently there are still people in Paraguay who, you know, have, you know, they're descended from Australians. The settlement kind of fell apart. Some people stayed, though, but they're basically completely integrated into Paraguay. No one speaks English generally. But, yeah, it's an amazing little story, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got to be very brave to do that.
Yes. Very idealistic, as I think they were in this case, too, off to set up this utopia. Question five, right. Oh, you being a first-time caller who got your first question right, I'm going to give you some special applause. This is just really? For you, Ray. Oh.
Fantastic.
Oh, Elizabeth just says, I lived in Switzerland in the 50s and 60s. Oh, hang on, that text has disappeared as I started reading it. Many Swiss women said they didn't want the vote because they would vote the same way as their husbands.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, Adrian's just saying some of the people who now live in what was New Australia do have blue eyes. So a few blue eyes have managed to stay there. Okay, Ray, let's see how you go with question five. South African Nobel Peace Prize winners Nelson Mandela and Archbishop Desmond Tutu lived on the same street in which famous township in Johannesburg?
Oh dear. I know it. I know that township. I've been past it. But I can't remember the name. Sorry about that.
All right. Look, it was lovely to have you on for your first call.
I'll be back.
Good. Excellent. Hey, Vando.
Yeah, Paul, just down the road.
Vando.
I wanted to get you off there.
No, Vando's busy chatting on the radio, some other radio, not our radio. Let's go to Milena in Wagga Wagga. Hi, Milena.
Hello, how are you?
Well, Milena, South African Nobel Peace Prize winners Nelson Mandela and Archbishop Desmond Tutu lived on the same street in which famous township in Johannesburg?
Oh, have no idea. Came on for Switzerland. Cape Town?
No, it is not Cape Town. Thanks, Milena. Nice to hear from you. Karen in Altona Meadows.
Hello.
Hi, Karen. South African Nobel Peace Prize winners Nelson Mandela and Archbishop Desmond Tutu lived on the same street in which famous township in Johannesburg?
Sure, but the only way I can think of is Soweto.
Soweto is the correct answer, Karen.
Okay.
Yeah. Question six. So, Karen, just, actually, the answer is not a country this time. It's something else. But this is our history quiz that is themed. All the questions are about countries that have been in this year's World Cup. Question six, Karen. In 1978, the Ivory Coast overtook Ghana as the world's largest producer of brown gold, also known as?
Good question. Brown gold. Look, I don't know. Is it fool's gold?
It's not fool's gold, no, Karen.
Let's try.
Okay. Thanks, Karen. Let's see if Vando has time for us now. Hi, Vando.
Hello, Suzanne. How are you?
Good. You were having a chat with someone on your other radio.
Yes. Anyway, sorry. I didn't realise I'd come on as quick as I did. You know?
I was anxious to see if I could get a toot-toot, that was all.
Oh, this track, like, it's dreadful. The horn on this thing is singing, and it's embarrassing. Sorry. I just let it go, and it's anyway.
So embarrassing is it's too loud, or?
No. I don't mind loud. It's when something's ineffectual, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Right. It's a bit insipid, is it?
Yeah, insipid. What a dreadful word. It's a bit ineffectual, like most of my answers. Anyway, but...
Okay.
I heard you did say something about brown gold.
That's right. So this is the question. In 1978, the Ivory Coast overtook Ghana as the world's largest producer of brown gold, also known as...
I'm guessing copper.
It is not copper, no.
Oh. All right, well, thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you, Vando. Who's got it? Yes, Pam, Annette in Perth, Alan in Cumnock, Stella. Well, Bernadette, one of those is correct. Right, Dave in Perth. G'day, Dave.
How's things, Suzanne?
Not bad, Dave. In 1978, the Ivory Coast overtook Ghana as the world's largest producer of brown gold, also known as, it's not copper, it's not fools.
Well, I think it's like, is it cocoa, as in chocolate? Cocoa?
Yes, it is. Yeah, together these two West African nations produce roughly 60% of the world's cocoa supply. Question seven. After they married in what is now modern-day Uzbekistan in 327 BC, Roxanne was the only wife of which king to bear him a son and heir?
No idea. Nicholas.
No. Sorry, Dave. Cheers. 1-300-800-222 to play our history quiz tonight. Oh, Brendan, you haven't rung for forever.
Well, that's because I'm old.
Oh, come on, that's no excuse.
I read, but I listen to you all the time. I'm a devoted listener, all right?
That's okay.
Now I remember why I don't ring up, because I don't know the answer to this. Right?
Right.
This is the first quiz in ages that I could have got some answers to.
Come on, listen again. You should be able to nut this one out. I've got confidence in you. After they married in what is now modern-day Uzbekistan in 327 BC, Roxanne was the only wife of which king to bear him a son and heir?
The only Rox I know was the Swedish pop singer, so I'm going to have to wish you a good family time and enjoy Vanuatu. And I'll ring you up before you go to Vanuatu, all right?
Okay, that's all right. I'll see if I can find a Dardanelles question for some reason next week, shall I?
Yeah, okay, see ya.
Okay, bye. Ruth says there's a really good book called Blue Stocking in Patagonia by Anne Whitehead about Mary Gilmore's adventures in Paraguay. Yes, so Anne Whitehead came in years ago when we first started Weekend Nightlife with Sarah McDonald, and we did a whole This Week in History all about the new Australia settlement in Paraguay. Brody is a truckie who's in South Australia right now. Hi, Brody.
Hey, Susan, how you going?
Well, now look, really, you should be able to, if you just think carefully through the clues, you should be able to nut this one out. Turn me off there. Turn me off, Brody. Okay. Okay. All right. Now, after they married in what is now modern day Uzbekistan in 327 BC, Roxanne was the only wife of which king to bear him a son and heir?
King Solomon.
It is not King Solomon, no.
All right. I heard you wanted the toot toot before.
Can you give me? Oh, that is much less insipid than Vando's toot toot. You win. You win the battle of the tooths tonight, Brody.
No worries. Have a good night.
All right. Bye. Kate at Jemina Beach.
Oh, hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
I was going to say, you have to be careful with those toots. Apparently someone was telling me the other day that it's illegal even to toot goodbye, you know, when you toot toot and say goodbye.
Oh, is it?
Apparently, yeah, it's illegal. And then apparently he said you're not allowed to do that anymore. And so you've got to be careful. Someone is sleeping. And
Lockie's nodding at me very gravely as if to say this is true and I am behaving badly. I am encouraging illegal behaviour on the radio.
Oh, Suzanne.
Oh, no.
I won't tell anyone if you do.
No one's heard, have they? Let's seal the room. We'll be fine.
Look, I don't know the answer to this, but was it someone, something like a name like Harrod or someone like that?
Look, it's a very famous person. Very, very famous person.
Yes, I'm sure once I put the phone down and hear it, I think I'm
going. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
No, sorry, Suzanne.
No one called Harrod, no.
No. Okay. Catch you next time.
Okay. See you, Kate. Okay. Ronnie knows. Tony in Melville knows. Jim in Campbelltown knows. Annette in Perth knows. So does Ed in Perth, Bernadette, Alan in Cumnock. That's it. Adrian in Bella Vista says, gulp, tough. Honestly, Adrian, when you hear it, you'll go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's someone who I'm sure will get this. Anne in Caulfield, come on down.
Hi, how are you going?
Okay, Anne, after they married in what's now modern-day Uzbekistan in 327 BC, Roxanne was the only wife of which king to bear him a son and heir?
Was it Alexander the Great?
Of course it was Alexander the Great. Well done, Anne. Yes, when he died suddenly in Babylon, Roxanna was pregnant with his only legitimate heir. To protect her unborn child's claim to the empire, she lured his other wives, Astatera and Parasatis, into a trap. She had them murdered and threw their bodies into a well. So not very nice behaviour.
Yeah, okay.
That's the way they did it in those days.
He didn't see the child anyway because if she was pregnant when he died, then he didn't get to see his heir.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, I don't think that the son is, well, the child has ever really been famous. And maybe the child died quite young too.
Yeah.
Right, question 8. Mexico City was built on the ruins of Tenochtitlan, the capital city of which ancient empire?
I think it was the Aztecs or I keep forgetting who has which. Oh, I said no, Aztecs might have been Peru. Oh, bro, now I'm confusing myself. I'm going to kick myself afterwards. I know it.
Come on, Anne.
You know what? I'm too tired to think straight. I'm pretty sure it wasn't the Aztecs, but I will eliminate them anyway.
It is the Aztecs, Anne. No kicking required.
Before I make a goose of myself.
Well, I have to be sure that you know what you want to say for your answer, don't I? Okay. Oh, someone says the tooting used to be illegal, but the road rule was changed a few years ago, so tooting goodbye or hello is no longer an offence.
I think if you toot unnecessarily, I think it still could be, but I don't know.
All right. Well, I hope I haven't been encouraging bad behaviour. Let's hope no one was woken up by the tooting. Question nine.
You know what? For me, it didn't sound that loud.
But what if it was a truck that was going right
by
our window?
I don't have my hearing aids in if I just took them out. So I don't know. Maybe it was loud. I couldn't hear. Anyway.
Question nine. The red chili peppers introduced to Korea by 17th century Portuguese traders was combined with cabbage to produce the modern version of which national cuisine, as in a food dish?
Oh, is that soup? Oh, what's it called? Oh, these, you know what? I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but I can't think what it's called. Kimchi.
Kimchi, yeah, is kimchi. Correct, Anne.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Question 10. Who did Serbian nationalist secret society, the Black Hand, organise to have assassinated in Sarajevo in 1914?
Oh, there was Grand Duke, what's his name?
Yeah, him.
And that started World War One. Was it Franz Ferdinand, or was that something completely? I'll say Franz Ferdinand.
It was Franz Ferdinand, Anne. Yeah, the actual assassination was carried out by a guy called Gavrilo Princeps. The Black Hand wanted to free Bosnia and Herzegovina from Austro-Hungarian rule. So that is why they did that. Question 11. Colonial rule in the Congo began in the late 19th century under King Leopold of which European country?
I don't think it's England because it doesn't sound an English name. Would it be Portugal?
It is not Portugal, I'm afraid.
I'll talk to you next. I probably won't because you'll be away.
No, I'm here next Sunday night.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you then.
Okay.
I hope.
Bye, Anne.
It's not safe travel.
All right, okay. Thanks so much, Anne. Bobsled. The anti-toot law is so woke the whole neighbourhood. Thank you very much, Bobsled. Gosh, you've been on fire this weekend. Now, Lockie said he's looked it up, though, and tooting your car horn unnecessarily is illegal across all states and territories. This makes me an accessory to a crime. George in Fremantle. Hello, George.
Oh, good evening, Suzanne. How are you going?
Good. You haven't called for a few weeks.
Oh, having a rest, aren't I? Resting my grey matter.
Okay. Hopefully to come back with a vengeance.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but I thought I'd call in tonight because I've known a couple of the answers. So this country, would you believe, I was there in 1973, but it wasn't called Congo in those days. It was called Zaire. And it was settled by the Belgians.
It was settled by the Belgians, that's right.
It was taken over and they raped and pillaged like most of the European countries did in Africa.
Yeah, anyway, King Leopold, I think, very much treated it as his kind of personal fiefdom, and the stories that emerge from their reign in the Congo are just appalling, aren't they, George?
Yes.
Something else we've done this week in history on a few years ago. Question 12. In what year was the World Cup moved to winter months due to extreme summer temperatures in the host country?
In what year? I'll have to be a guess, but it's held every 4 years. And it's the years opposite to the, or 2 years apart from the Olympics. So I'm going to guess, kind of been that long ago, I wouldn't have thought. Let's say 1978.
Not 1978.
Oh, well.
Thanks, George.
Okay, see you later.
Bye. All right, Philip in Maryborough. Hi, Philip.
Howdy.
Hi. Queensland, Maryborough, Victoria.
Queensland.
You're in Queensland. You're in the place with the nice loos. You know, the famous public toilets you've got there. What are they called? The Cistern Chapel?
Yes.
That's
true. Funny, isn't it, to be famous for a loo?
Well, at least you're known, you know. Question 12. In what year was the World Cup moved to winter months due to the extreme summer temperatures in the host country? It was not 1978.
2022.
2022 is correct. In which country do you know, Philip?
I don't know, Saudi Arabia or somewhere like that.
It was actually...
No, not Saudi.
Yeah, it was actually Qatar, but you only had to give me the year to get the question right, and you've done that. Okay, the next one is a multiple choice question for question 13. While working in the Iraqi capital of Baghdad during the Islamic Golden Age, the Persian mathematician Khwarizmi founded the modern version of which branch of mathematics? Was it A, algebra, B, fractals, C, calculus, or D, topology?
Algebra.
Algebra is correct, Philip. Nicely done. Question 14 in our World Cup country-themed history quiz tonight. Prior to the establishment of the Panama Canal in 1914, ships travelling from New York to San Francisco had to sail roughly 21,000 kilometres around the notorious what?
Cape Horn.
Cape Horn is correct, Philip. Okay. Question 15. In 1992, new currency was circulated in New Zealand, including a $5 note featuring a picture of who?
Well, I don't think I'll get this one correct, so I'll say thank you and good night.
Thanks, Philip. Very nice to talk to you. We have Graham in Perth with us. Evening, Graham.
Oh, g'day, Suzanne.
Yeah, Graham.
Yes, at last.
In 1992, Graham, new currency was circulated in New Zealand, including a $5 note featuring a picture of who?
I honestly don't know this, so I'm going to pass it on. This is intriguing.
Okay. When you hear it, you go, oh, yeah. But
we'll
get there. Okay. Thanks, Graham. Harry in the Bay says, I'm not just an accessory to illegal behaviour with this tooting. I'm the ringleader of a whole gang of truckers. Okay. That is not a claim to fame I thought I would ever have, Harry, but if the shoe fits, hey. 1-300-800-222. Gary, that is correct. Bernadette, you've got it. Diana and Di and Manjara and Harry in the Bay, you're all on the correct path there too. Ian in Penrith. Hi, Ian.
How are you?
Ian, in 1992, new currency was circulated in New Zealand, including a $5 note featuring a picture of whom?
Prince Charles.
It was not Prince Charles.
Unlucky.
It is unlucky. One. Okay, bye, Ian. We have Karen in South Brisbane. Evening, Karen. Hey.
Good evening, lovely.
Good evening. Who was on this $5 note in New Zealand in 1992?
It's possibly about me, Sir Edmund Hillary.
It was Sir Edmund Hillary. Well done, Karen. Yeah, that made him the only living person who was not a head of state to feature on New Zealand's currency at the time.
Yeah. It's interesting because Australia New Zealand connection.
Very much.
We have him here though as well, right?
Say that again.
We have him here on our notes sometimes as well.
Have we?
Is he not on the official note?
I don't know. Isn't that Mawson? Or was Mawson?
Oh yes, I may have upset. Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
No. And I think Hillary is one of those successful New Zealanders that Australians haven't actually tried to claim for their own, Karen.
He's such an extraordinary man.
Yeah. No, he did so much. He had so many adventures, didn't he, in the course of his lifetime.
Absolutely. And like the time and the whole thing, amazing.
Yeah. Right. Now, apparently the $5 note in New Zealand is sometimes called the penguin because on the other side of Sir Edmund Hillary, there is a penguin. So that's why they sometimes call it.
That's also gorgeous as well, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, slap me a penguin. Like that.
I wonder how many people in Australia still remember actually what's on our notes.
Well, yes. How often do we see them? I was manning a stall today. My son had a cycling race and I was doing the canteen for a couple of hours. If we had 100 customers, maybe 2 paid in cash.
Yeah.
And it was strange.
People in Australia now actually remember who's on our notes.
Yeah. I think you test me. I'm not even going to try. How many do you think you can do, Karen?
I believe that they've taken out a few, so they've swapped a couple. So I'm like you. I'm not really going to go for that.
Yeah, let's not show how much we don't know about what's on our notes, Karen. Hey, let's try instead. Question 16. Mm. During the late 60s, musicians including the Rolling Stones and Jimi Hendrix helped cement which North African country as a legendary stop on the hippie trail?
Which North African country?
Yes.
North African.
Say that again.
Sorry, you said North African.
North African.
Hang on. So North African country.
Yeah. So I'll read it again. During the late 60s, musicians including the Rolling Stones and Jimi Hendrix helped cement which North African country as a legendary stop on the hippie trail?
I was thinking south. That's why you got me confused. That's why I got a little confused. I'm gonna go. Sorry, I'm still thinking, but I'll give me one more minute, and I'll think a little further.
All right, look, Karen, we'll have to move forward. I'll give you 5 seconds to give me an answer. A North African country.
Yeah, no, look, I'm struggling on that one. No,
that's all right. Someone will figure it out. Karen, thank you for getting Sir Edmund Hillary for us. Here is Laurie. Hi, Laurie.
Good evening. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been in and out of the car a bit, so I haven't heard all the questions. But in regard to Soweto, you know what the word means?
I don't.
It stands for Southwest Township.
Ah, right. That makes perfect sense.
The township where a lot of the Native Africans lived, and where then, from what I understand, not having been there, that they commuted by train into the city work. The township was basically built for, in a sense, you might have could have called it slave labour. But anyway, that's as I understand it.
All right, Laurie, let's have a go at question 16. During the late 60s, musicians including the Rolling Stones and Jimi Hendrix helped cement which North African country as a legendary stop on the hippie trail? And a reminder that all the questions tonight are to do with countries that have been in the group stages at the World Cup.
I think pretty sure Egypt was in the World Cup, and it's North African, so I'll have a guess at Egypt.
It is not Egypt. Thanks, Laurie. All right, nice to talk to you there. Quite a few of you have it. Kim in Blackmans Bay, Mel in Perth, Marion in Leichhardt, Jane in Homebush, Annette in Perth, and Ronnie and Ed and Pam and Maria and Chris and Sandra. Let's have a yarn to Gary in Mount Gambier. Hi, Gary.
Oh, how you going, Doc?
So, Gary, in the late 60s, musicians including the Rolling Stones and Jimi Hendrix helped cement which North African country as a legendary stop on the hippie trail? It was not Egypt.
Marrakech.
Well,
Morocco.
Morocco is what I'm after. Yes, I think Marrakech was kind of notoriously where everyone went to get stoned, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good fun.
Did you do it, Gary?
Well, I'm not saying yes and I'm not saying no.
Right, question 17. Yes, it was Morocco. 17. Although sushi is famously Japanese, one particular type of filling is actually a Norwegian invention developed in the 1980s as part of a government campaign to sell a surplus of what kind of fish?
Can you say that question again, please?
I can. Although sushi is famously Japanese, one particular type of filling is actually a Norwegian invention developed in the 1980s as part of a government campaign to sell a surplus of what kind of fish?
The question is what kind of fish?
That is correct.
That would be cod.
I'm afraid it is not cod. Thanks, Gary.
All right. Thanks,
all right. Catch you another time. Joyce, you have the answer correct. Hey, Latif. Latif.
Oh, hello. I'm so quick.
Okay, we're after the fish that the Norwegian government had a surplus of, so they developed.
I'll just say, I don't know, but I'll just have a guess. Sardines?
It is not sardines, no.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Latif. Cameron in South Perth.
Hey, good evening or good morning to you.
Good morning to you. What fish was this? It's a sushi that was actually a Norwegian invention.
Herring.
It's not herring.
Thank you.
Thanks. Think of a sushi that you may have eaten. Joe in Ridgehaven. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Okay.
Would it be salmon?
Yes, it is salmon. I had no idea that until we found this question, that it wasn't Japanese, you know, it was developed by the Norwegians. As a sushi dish. Question 18 for you now, Joe. Which modern-day country is home to the ruins of ancient Carthage, which was capital of the Carthaginian Empire, which took on the Romans in the Punic Wars of the 2nd and 3rd centuries BC?
Will that be Tunisia?
It would be Tunisia, Joe. Well done. Question 19. Football aside, in 1457, King James II banned a particular ball game invented by the Scots because it distracted men from archery practice. Which ball game was that?
Golf.
Golf is correct. Joe, doing very, very well. In fact, question 24, the win, Joe. Who was the president of FIFA in 2010 when Australia failed in their bid for the 2022 World Cup?
Will it be Perez?
No, not Perez. Thanks, Joe. Right. Will in Albany. Hi, Will.
Oh, hello, Suzanne.
Now, Will, this is for the win. Who was the president of FIFA in 2010 when Australia failed in their bid for the 2022 World Cup?
Oh, I know. It was quite scandalous in the end, but I forgot his name. Got into a lot of trouble. No, I can't remember his name, Suzanne. Sorry about that.
No, you'll probably kick yourself, Will. It'll probably come straight to you. But I thank you for playing the quiz.
All right.
Nice to talk to you. Dee in Coffs Harbour. Hi, Dee.
Hello.
Hello, D.
Hello. Can you hear me? Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Can you turn the radio off there?
Yes, sorry, Suzanne.
Okay.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Okay, now this is for the Windy. Who was the president of FIFA in 2010 when Australia failed in their bid for the 2022 World Cup?
President of FIFA in 2010, the World Cup. What, Graham, not Graham, it's, what's his name? Marcus?
No, no, I'm sorry, D. That's not going to win you the quiz. Kerry in Kangaroo Point?
Hi, Suzanne. It's Sepp Blatter.
It was Sepp Blatter. Well done, Kerry. You are the winner of our World Cup country-themed history quiz tonight. Have you been following the World Cup?
Well, I follow most sports, but I think he came out here and they wined and dined him and Australia was trying to... I think we got one vote. I think we might have voted for ourselves. I'm not 100% sure, but it wasn't very good.
No, it was not good. Not good at all. And I'm not sure that, you know, Qatar had a lot, should have had a lot going against it, such as the extreme heat, but...
I was a bit political, that one.
It's
very,
always
very
a bit political.
Was. That one about Paraguay, that you, some, you had an author on the ABC during the week talking about that.
Yes, someone else said that there was a conversation on Conversations about it.
Yes, it was. Oh, well, no, it was one the other one. I can't remember, but it was very good.
Excellent. There's so many stories that some of, you know, you don't hear and then and they pop up from time to time. It's always amazing. There are so many stories in our history, aren't there, Kerry, when we go explore them. Just amazing
so
things
well,
that happened.
So well done on the ABC. I'd be lost without it.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it, Kerry. All right, you are the winner of the history quiz. Have you previously won?
Not on yours, I don't think. No, one on that, some of the others. Francis Leach. I've got a lovely book, and yeah, I've got a lot of quite a few magnets here from, you know, with some of the other ones, Trevor and some of those. But I've never won yours, I don't think.
Well, that's excellent, Kerry. It's going to a good home. All right, it was very nice to talk to you. Hang on the line, have a yarn with Lockie, and we'll get your fridge magnet out to you. Thank you very much. Yeah, Gary says that was tough, but I learned a couple of things. Is that right? Adrian's just saying Sepp Blatter was impeached. I'll have to, I think I'd forgotten all about Sepp Blatter and put him right out of my mind. Thanks, thanks so much. Thank you for all of your correspondence during the history quiz as well.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.